Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And good morning on a Friday. We have a busy, busy show today.
Oh,
after a long day yesterday.
It's a great time to be a Detroit sports fan for a lot of reasons. It's just great yesterday to be a sports fan because there's so much going on, whether it's live sports, it's, you know, the draft's not live sports, but it feels like it.
But
we get a chance to really live all of the great moments of these college players over the last couple of years, but especially last year. We see it, the film. We're talking about it, you know, the X's and O's of it. And so, yeah, yesterday, that was a great sports day.
As long of a day as it was for us, is Shedeur Sanders still sitting in his custom draft room? I think he still might be. We'll get to winners and losers at 6:35 this morning. You know we're going to hit Pistons. We're going to hit Lions. We've got A.J. Hinch at 8:02 today. We rescheduled with him. He was at the Pistons game last night, along with a bunch of Detroit Tigers, Detroit Lions. The city was a buzz yesterday. Game didn't go the Pistons' way. We'll get to all of it. John, how did yesterday go for you? I know you were a part of the Lions draft party.
Yeah, it was a busy day, busy sports day. As soon as I left here, I had some responsibilities at Michigan. Then it was a softball game for Ellie. Then downtown. And going downtown was fun last night because it's you could feel the buzz in the city. Because there's only 20,000 that are going to the game, traffic wasn't backed up. You didn't have to worry too much about parking because we were in a different area. We were down on Lafayette for the draft party for the Lions. And everybody that was at the party, it was there's just a buzz about the Detroit Lions. Now, I know it's coming off of a disappointing loss. People have somewhat gotten past that. And then it was because the drafts for Brad Holmes have been so successful, it's not just – hey, we just trust Brad for whatever he's going to do. It's now that you have a roster that is very talented, you're looking at adding guys to a talented roster, and you're not necessarily worried about, okay, who are they going to take in the seventh round because that they've got to hit. They've got to find that gem in the seventh round. No, those seventh round guys now feels like we're going to fill out the practice squad. We're going to fill out that roster and hopefully they'll develop. We don't need them to produce, but yeah, we'll add some talent in the first. We'll add some talent in the second, make this team a little bit better. The buzz down there, and even with the players, like it was Penei Sewell, Jared Goff, Rodrigo, then my old buddy, everybody's old buddy here, Robert Porche, was down there, shared some stories about playing against him. It just, what they were excited to have new additions, some young talent, some youth, all of those different things to the team. It just was, then you walked outside, people walking around, talking about the Pistons. The Pistons game was still going on, but the conversation is Pistons. Hey, what do you think about the Pistons? What are they doing? What do you think about Detroit and the Tigers and what they're doing? It just, everybody wants to talk about Detroit sports right now.
We have a renaissance going on in this city right now, and you see it with the Tigers, first place in the American League. Made the playoffs a year ago, won a playoff series a year ago. You see it with the Lions for a few years now in this hunt for a Super Bowl. And the Pistons, you're playing a home playoff game. They had the fan fest going, so people were gathered outside the arena before the game. They brought back the final countdown, chills as Mason goes through all of it. We'll play it to this morning for people, but there's a real renaissance going on with the sports in our city right now. And John, you were in the middle of all of it. I'm curious how much of the focus was on, yes, the draft is going on and you're at a draft party. Were people paying attention to the Pistons? Because I'll tell you, on our draft party, it felt like the big screen in everybody's living room was the Pistons.
Oh, it was more of a watch party for the Pistons.
Yes, than it was. We were, hitting on every pick as they would come. And if there was a commercial, we'd, find ways to talk about who's on the clock. But the Pistons took center stage for us.
It was. And obviously, everybody that's down there, right, is they're Detroit sports fans. And it was, even when I was standing there, I was talking to Jared. We were talking, having a couple of, picking at some food. The Pistons game was on TV. And everybody was, and it was kind of funny too, because we had somewhat turned to talk to each other, but we were still looking out of the corner of our eye, and that's when the scuffle took place.
Oh, early?
And Jared instantly goes, "Ooh, there's a fight." and so that kind of reminds you, like, okay, we're still dudes, right? We still like to see the pushing and shoving. We still like to see all that stuff. We don't want to miss a moment of it. Oh, is somebody going to get it? Somebody going to throw a slap, a punch, whatever? It just was, it was fun because everybody was. So we were down at Five Iron, and the behind the bar, they've got a couple of screens. One is blocked by like some huge cement post. Like you can't really see it, but
nice design.
One was on the draft. One was on the game. And then you turn around, there's more TVs. And it was like they had set it up perfect. Every other one was draft, Pistons, draft, Pistons, draft, Pistons. So no matter where you went, you weren't missing anything. It was a perfect setup. And everyone was glued more to the Pistons game.
Oh, yeah.
And rising and falling in the emotions of the room with the Pistons versus, okay, nobody really cared until, the event was over by the time the Vikings were on the board. Yeah, there were some moans and groans about Chicago at 10, take a Colston Loveland, because Colston was at the draft party last year. A lot of people that were at the same one this year got a chance to meet him. They were happy for him. But there was always this, Chicago, come on. This kind of sucks that he's going to Chicago.
I root against him twice a year now. Yeah.
How'd you take it all in?
Yeah, so for us watching it, it was fascinating because with the draft, if someone's 3 or 4 seconds behind, no big deal. But for a basketball game, you know if the three is in. You know if the block happened.
I didn't even think about that. So when I was watching it, my feed was a little bit faster than everybody else. So, and I didn't realize I wasn't picking up on.
I had to catch myself late because I'm, fist bump or, oh, you missed it. And I can't say anything because everybody I'm going to spoil it right before it happens. So Stoney was on, and he and I think were the earliest feeds. Doug and Valeni for a stretch were, I think, the furthest behind. And we're all watching this game together, but slightly different times.
It's kind of a painful watch at that point.
It kind of is.
Because I can't celebrate. I can't be disappointed.
If I just don't make sound was kind of my adjustment. I could like quietly fist bump. And it,
oop!
Yep.
But oop!
Heather, when did you lose Colin?
Oh, well, he took the kids out to dinner, which was fabulous. Oh, so wow. I got a little downtime and he started watching
Dad
the game
the
at
day.
Dinner. And then I as soon as he got home, I lost him. He actually yelled at me. Not yelled at me, but he said...
Oh, confrontational Colin at home too.
He said I was talking too much during the game. So...
Every guy can relate to Colin right now.
I was like, fine, I'm going to bed.
Uh-huh. What were you asking him? Was your day?
Yeah.
Please stop talking to me.
I don't get a lot of time to talk with him, right? This is the only time I actually have to have a conversation with him.
What did the kids eat at dinner?
Yeah.
Does it really matter? Like, the voices in my head would be, it really doesn't matter. They're healthy, aren't they?
The soccer shoes I bought Emily are too big. Like, what do you think we should do? When are we going to buy it? Things like that.
Okay. Heather, the Pistons are on. We got playoff basketball in the Motor City. Zip it.
Then when I went to sleep and didn't say goodnight, he's like, good night. I'm like, I'm trying not to say anything. Trying to be quiet here.
I love that.
Smarm alarm hit for Heather last night.
I had one of these moments back in 2007. The ninth inning of the Verlander no-hitter. And my mother-in-law was at the kitchen table with Kelly, and they were talking. And I was finally trying to get me involved. And I'm finally like, guys, history's trying to be made here.
Right.
Shut up, yes. Please.
Uh-huh. Have any of you done the passive-aggressive, like they'll stand in front of the TV and you do the...
head to the side, like yeah. kind of giving them the in the way.
So what I'll do instead of the head to the side is I'll hold up the remote and I'm not hitting buttons, but I'm making it look like I'm hitting buttons. You're blocking the remote reader. Like I, and then I'll move the remote over this way. Move the could you please move because the remote's not working.
The ultimate rude move is turning the volume up.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Pro tip, guys, they don't like that. Don't do that.
Yeah. So that, yeah. When instead of, or before I go to, could you please stop talking? It's, I turn the volume up and hopefully the hint is I can't hear over you.
I just start talking louder as well.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's usually the way it goes in my house too.
We have a shouting match in the second quarter.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Just talk.
Yeah.
Communicate. Yes. Trust your partner.
Yeah, the shouting match is between Mel Kiper and my wife. Because turning Mel Kiper up louder.
I thought the shouting match was Mel Kiper and every general manager in the NFL. He was personally offended that Shedeur Sanders was not drafted.
What's the deal? Does he have some type of like previous relationship with Dion and,
I'm not
and
sure who
Shedeur?
Was, I think he may have been more upset than Dion. I mean, he just kept going on and on and on. Anyway. Winners and losers, we'll get to Shedeur, we'll get to what happened at the top of the draft, a bunch of trades at the end of the draft as well. We'll get to that at 6:35. Lions pick, Tyleik Williams.
You stop talking.
I went mute and didn't say another word all night.
We'll get to the Lions pick, we'll get to the Pistons atmosphere.
If only the mute button worked like that.
And as always, guys, I'll stress to you today, we're going to have open lines. If you want to talk Pistons, if you want to talk Lions, we will take phone calls on both. All 4 hours. It's 97.1.
Hey, I'm going to be mowing the lawn this afternoon, and I'm kind of excited about it. It's greening up. It's looking really nice. Naturally Lawn and Tree Service is the company that I use. I've used them for years, and now I'm excited about the new lawn, the new house, the way that they have it looking already this year. I'm not worried about crabgrass because they've treated and take care of that. Not worried about dandelions. They're treating them that. The number to get them on the phone, 888-GET-GREEN. You can get more info on the web at naturallylawn.com. But before I tell you about the dandelions, I do need to let you know that if you purchase a full lawn program right now, you're going to get free grub control, but you got to mention my name along with 97.1 The Ticket. Now back to the dandelions. They're going to rob your lawn of water and nutrients. And if they go to seed, we all know it. Hey, it's yellow, and then all of a sudden they got those white seeds. They blow all over your yard, and it just spreads like wildfire. Make sure you take care of that now. It's not too late to take care of the crabgrass. They're going to not give you a runaround. They're not going to tell you in the middle of the summer, hey, we got this new problem. No, they just fix it. That's why I love them. They don't worry about communicating with you. They take care of that early in the season. It's a locally owned company for over 35 years. They're involved in local charities. So keep your money local and keep it here in Metro Detroit. 888-GET-GREEN on the phone, naturallylawn.com on the web, Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service. Get green, stay green with Natural Way.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I'll say this. Knicks deserve to win that game.
Yeah, they played good. They really did.
Karl-Anthony Towns responded after a ton of criticism in game two. He had 31 points to lead all scorers in the game. You put that side by side with Tobias Harris, who had five. and zero going into the final quarter. Among other reasons, the Pistons lost that game. We'll get to it at 7:02. 6:50, the Lions made the pick. Didn't trade up, didn't trade back, stayed at 28. Tyleek Williams. I like the pick. I think there is one thing you could say if you wanted to be critical of it. We'll make some time for it. We got ticket texts coming in. People are responding to Wifezilla.
Oh, boy. Oh, come on. I'll defend. Like, this is...
How dare she want to have a conversation with her husband at the end of a day?
Right.
There's games on, Wifezilla.
Shut your mouth.
Says, I'm starting to think Heather's right when you guys were talking about nicknames. She probably shouldn't be Bridezilla. If you're hearing these conversations, Wifezilla may be more appropriate. I'm guessing Bridezilla does all of the talking at home. I see the end coming for Heather
Hold on. I will defend Heather in this situation because having, from the perspective of the other side, I get Colin's perspective, but it's there are very few opportunities to catch up with your significant other. No matter what line of business you're in, no matter how many kids, no kids, like when you're working and your husband's working, I will defend the fact that that is the time to catch up on the day. And you just want to talk to him.
I do. We're sitting right next to each other on the couch. Yeah. Like, how am I supposed to be 100% quiet?
You're not supposed to be quiet. You're supposed to be dialed into the Pistons game talking about switches and coverages.
That's right. I was doing the wrong type of talking.
You should have been like, hey, Hardaway Jr., we needed this jolt. Let's go. Texter does have your back. Said it's sad, Colin. Be a better husband. Chad in a truck.
There we go.
I'm going to defend both. I'll be stony here and ride the fence. Because I'm in that situation all the time.
Ticket texters pouring in. And we said open lines on Pistons and Lions today. We're going to be talking about both at different points today. You want to call in? This is when you're free. Go ahead. Give us thoughts on both. Ticket texter says, so Cookies, the Knicks win the series, right? They won game 3.
No, that's not what we said.
I said false.
Yes, we said if the Pistons win it, they win the series, but that it's not terminal to them. We thought it would be terminal to the Knicks.
Right, because now the Pistons have a must-win game on Sunday.
Yep.
You got to even it up at home. You go down 3-1 with a couple games in New York looming, you're probably not getting out of the first round. You win game 2.
Yep.
Game on, baby. Yep. 7-game series. Right back in it. Texter says, our pick was so quick last night for the Lions, it just proved that Brad and Dan got their guy they wanted and filled a gap in our defense.
Yeah, in regards to the need, and you could say whatever you want, or Holmes could say, well, we're not drafting for need. I can't wait for him to have the post-draft press conference talking about all the picks because we don't know what they're going to do today. We don't know what they're going to do tomorrow.
Yeah, he spoke a little last night.
Yeah. And he did share some of that. But when we see the draft as a whole and do they address the edge as well here in round 2, then the question is going to be, what are you going to do with the offensive line? How are you going to shore that up and future years, all those different things. So that's when we'll be able to talk a little bit more of, did you actually get the guy that was the best on your board, or was this a draft for need?
Well, that's what this next texter questions. He says, how do the Lions pass a top 15 player in Jahad Campbell for a rotational piece on the D-line? I trust Brad, but I'm not going to lie. I'm disappointed, especially when he went to the Eagles. I felt the same way when we passed on Jalen Carter. That's the critique I think is fair. Mm-hmm. If the best general manager in football takes Jahad Campbell, you're allowed to question if your GM made a mistake passing on Jahad Campbell. I don't have an issue with Tyleek Williams because of he's a huge human being who can play the middle.
Right.
Short term, they need someone while Aleem McNeil is hurt. Long term, DJ Reader is on a 1-year deal. He's a massive human being that stops the run, crushes the pocket. And I think there's some pass rushing upside that will translate to the NFL.
But and we'll talk about it more later, but in defense of Brad Holmes, and I know we all talk about Philly, the best GM in football. They weren't going to take Tyleek Williams because they have two really good defensive tackles. What did they lose in free agency and retirement?
Yeah.
Edge rushers.
Yeah.
And they don't have, right now, Aiden Hutchinson. Detroit does. We don't have anybody behind Aleem McNeil. Plus, we don't have Aleem McNeil until, what, Thanksgiving? So this was more of this. Well, this does kind of shout to me need.
He doesn't draft for need.
I'm telling you what it shouts.
The Eagles did lose Milton Williams in the interior of the defensive line. They could have justified Tyleek Williams if he was there.
Yes, but they lost Brandon Graham to retirement. They lost Sweat to free agency. They lost more on the edge. They do have two really good defensive tackles.
I'm not coming on to criticize the pick today. They took a big human being on the defensive line that can help them. I'm not mad at Tyleek Williams. But if someone calls in or texts in that they're upset, if you're going to go, well, I trust Brad Holmes, people get offended by that. A more successful general manager took Jahad Campbell, so you can defer to the other smart football guy, and yeah. I think you have a case if you're upset. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, former Detroit Riverfront Conservancy CFO William Smith was sentenced to 19 years in federal prison for orchestrating one of the largest, longest-running, and most lucrative frauds in Detroit history. Mm. So he stole $44.3 million that was supposed to be spent revitalizing the city's riverfront, right? So he pleaded guilty late last year to one count each of wire fraud and money laundering for the scheme that went on for years. It spanned from 2012 through last year. He did face a maximum of 20 years in prison, so he
got a year shaved off.
He was also ordered to pay $48.1 million in restitution.
I mean, it's... I don't know. Once you get going down that road, I guess it's just, you know, you might as well just keep on going, but...
I guess.
The list of things that he bought... or that he used the money for. And it was, I mean, trips to Vegas, trips to NFL games.
And jewelry and homes and all this stuff. But yeah, yikes. A 62-year-old man could be facing charges for lying to police after missing Dearborn Heights teen Tasia Keaton was found in his apartment. So police say the most disturbing thing about this individual is that when they first received tips that she could possibly be near the area where he lived, they did interview him. And he denied knowing anything about her, denied seeing her, right? And then it turns out, she's been living in his apartment for a whole month. They did say they do believe that he was not forcing her to stay there, that she was doing so voluntarily. And right now they are investigating further. Was she sexually assaulted by this man? That they don't know yet. So right now he's facing charges of lying to police.
And it begs the question, what else is he not telling them? Yeah, exactly.
A Genesee County woman recently won $3 million playing Mega Millions. 58-year-old Pamela Dietrich of Linden, she purchased this ticket online. It was for the April 11th drawing, and obviously she won big. After she won, she admitted that this is not something she usually does. Like, she doesn't consistently play or always buy tickets, but she just had an itch, a feeling to go play for this drawing, and good for her. She claimed her prize. She plans to use the money to remodel her house, pay off her vehicle, and then save the rest.
Good for her.
I know. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I wish that every time I had an itch to play the lottery, I won, but
it doesn't work like that for the rest of us.
No, not at all. Shannon Sharp stepping away from ESPN in obviously the wake of this big $50 million sexual assault lawsuit against him. He did make the decision. He announced the decision anyway on his Twitter page, stating that he's temporarily leaving his seat at the First Take desk in order to handle false and disruptive allegations set against me. Mm-hmm. He also added that he is planning to return to his spot later this summer, right around the start of the NFL's preseason.
Did you see some of the texts?
I did.
Between the two of them?
Yes. Yeah. He continued to state that this relationship question was 100% consensual.
And kind of freaky.
For sure.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you get the freak lane.
Well, then you get the blurred lines. I don't know who's telling the truth in all of this. I just know it's a really messy situation.
Yeah. Yep. Pete Davidson. Covered in tattoos. Well, used to be
right?
Not
yeah.
so much anymore. He's been in the process of getting his tattoos removed. So far, he says he's 30% done. And you know how much money he's spent so far?
I have no idea what it costs.
$100,000.
Wow.
So far, and he's got a long way to go.
And getting them taken off is much more painful than getting them on. That's never thought any of my tattoos hurt getting them on, but I had one removed. Oh, yeah, okay. And it wasn't excruciating. It was just more uncomfortable.
Yeah. He says it's going to take him another 10 years to complete removing all of them. And he says he hasn't even gotten his torso or his back done yet. But I saw a picture of him, side by side, before and after. Oh, he looks so much better after.
Yeah. So, Colin, if you were considering doing full body tattoos, that's a no from Heather. Yeah. Heather with the news. Winners and losers from night one of the NFL draft. It's next, 97.1.
Hey, don't miss your chance to bet all the clutch shots and legendary performances with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props, and now you can make a heads-up play with player performance trends. What does that mean? It means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you could check out the latest stats and see who's hot in-game without even leaving the app. Plus, after the game tips off, you can even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to put down just a little bit and win a lot. If you don't already have a FanDuel account, playoff time is the perfect time to join. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to join today. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit and make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Winners and losers from night one of the NFL draft. John, we'll go back and forth. Let's do a round of winners first.
All right. So my first winner is Cleveland.
Oh.
And it's not just because they get a really good player, interior defensive line play of Mason Graham. Obviously, I love the kid. Michigan. But you pair him with what they have on the outside and Myles Garrett. Now all of a sudden, hey, that's great. But they get a day two pick. They have the first pick in the second round. They have the fourth pick in the second round. They also got a first round pick next year.
Yeah.
Cleveland, the clear winner. And I was telling you this. I love the Rich Eisen quote, and it's about the pick for Mason Graham. And this is, quote, Rich Eisen: "In all honesty, the most important trait anybody from Cleveland wants to have in a Brown is someone who knows how to win in the state of Ohio." He certainly knows how to win in the state of Ohio.
He had a cool draft hat, too, by the way. The Cleveland dog pound hat.
Yeah.
It's a nice hat. And it's a good pick for Cleveland.
Yeah.
And they pick up an extra first and capital along the way. Winner for me, the Ravens. Malachi Starks. That's a Baltimore Raven pick if I've ever seen one. Instinctive defensive player, safety. They can move him around their defense. There's just picks that when they happen, you go, Of course.
So right before they picked, and I asked the guys on Twitch, I said, okay, what's the most Ravens pick? And some snarky responses were, well, whoever the Lions want. But this was the same guy that everybody brought up. It is just a clear Ravens pick. Solid football player. No one's a guarantee, but you feel like the floor is so high that at least he's going to be a quality player for a long time.
We're going to alternate winners and losers. Go around to losers. For me, the New York Football Giants. They started out so strong. Abdul Carter might be the best player in this draft. But then they went and screwed it up by trading into the first round to take Jackson Dart, who was underwhelming in every big game he played last season, specifically the Florida game. He played in a gimmicky RPO offense. You're going to dump him into New York with a coaching staff that may be fired? Are you drafting him for the next regime? I thought it was bad all around. You want to trade up to go get your quarterback? I respect it. But this quarterback, John, I don't see it with Jackson Dart. Not even a little bit.
I don't see it, but I understand shooting your shot. So I'm going to defend them just a little bit because they did get who I think is the best player in this draft in regards to their edge position. But I also think that Russell Wilson's going to be the starting quarterback this year. Jackson Dart needs time to be able to see the entire field, needs time to develop as a quarterback. I don't care who you are as a quarterback. I believe you shouldn't play your rookie season. Now, maybe he does by the end of the year, or injury may push him into action, but this is a pick for 26. Nobody thinks that this team in 25 is going to be a playoff team, or if they're even going to be a Super Bowl contender. But I think in 26, and it may be the next regime, I don't know. But I am going to defend this one a little bit. I'm not a big fan of Jackson Dart. That's not what I mean this to say.
Yeah,
but
that's my issue is the player.
But in today's business of the NFL, if he gets into training camp and throughout the course of the season, they're like, Jackson Dart, not going to be the guy. They can flip it like we've seen Arizona do and pick another quarterback next year.
Who's a loser for you?
A loser for me, if there's a winner in a trade, there's a loser in a trade. And to me, it's clearly Jacksonville. And it's, okay, they get Travis Hunter. That's a win. But is he going to be able to, the question will be, is he going to be able to master both sides? Yeah. And you didn't give Trevor Lawrence, I don't believe, another reliable weapon. And if something happens to Travis Hunter, now you're down two players.
Give him a winner.
So the next winner I have is Kansas City. I think their pick of Josh Simmons, now I wasn't high on him early in the first round, but obviously they didn't pick early in the first round. We all know that they needed to find a way to protect Patrick Mahomes. If there's one thing that I think Josh Simmons does well, it's pass protect. One of the things I've talked about is I don't think he is a violent player. I don't think he's a great run blocker, but their focus is going to be on throwing the ball downfield, on protecting Patrick Mahomes. And this is, they finally did something to address protection for him.
Winner for me, Bryce Young. They go out and get him a big receiver. I know you love Tet McMillan. The Panthers picked him at 8. That's a clear-cut number one. Go up and get it. Put the ball in his general vicinity and help your young quarterback who showed some promise second half of last season.
I had him as a winner as well, so I'll take that one off of my board.
All right, loser.
I'm back on loser?
Yeah, so we just did a winner.
So I think another loser is Ashton Jeanty. Now, being picked where he is, that's a win. Going to the Raiders and that offensive line, that's a loss.
Yeah,
they're not run blockers. They're not proficient up front. I think he is going to struggle as a rookie. He's going to have some moments where he just makes guys miss, but he is going to be, he's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, I had the Raiders as a loser for that reason. If you draft a running back and you don't have the line, you're going Saquon Barkley Giants edition. You want to have Saquon Barkley Eagles edition. The Raiders aren't in that position.
Now,
that's a tough pick.
In their defense, they pick 5th in the second round, and they can go out there and draft an offensive lineman. There's a couple on the board. We'll talk about things, what we want to see in rounds 2 or 3, but they do have a chance to address at least one of the O-line positions.
Let's just get out of the way. Loser, Shedeur Sanders.
Look,
all the narratives about you and cocky and ego, and then you're going to sit in a room custom built for you with the word legend written a million times. Buddy, he didn't go in the first round.
Well, the only thing, he couldn't wear his jersey because it's been retired.
So there's a lot of smoke, and I couldn't believe how offended Mel Kiper Jr. was on his behalf. Here's the reality with Shedeur Sanders. He throws a pretty ball, but to play quarterback, it's so much more than that. And if you're throwing your teammates under the bus, if you're taking sacks, if you've got a lousy attitude, if you're going to sit in a room that says legend everywhere, it's clear all 32 teams said not worth the headache. Maybe on day 2, but certainly not a day 1 quarterback. Shedeur, the big loser.
Yeah. Back to winner.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you Colston Loveland. Now, we don't want Chicago to be a winner, but huge winner for Colston Loveland because he's a tight end that can stretch the field. He's in an offense where Ben Johnson, where they're going to utilize the tight end. They're going to use him to stretch the field. He loves to throw the ball to a tight end. He's going to have the chance to grow with a very young quarterback in Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams needed a reliable target. And the win for him is we saw what he can do with a quarterback that could throw the ball downfield when JJ was the quarterback. And we saw the struggles that he had last year because Michigan didn't have a quarterback that could even get him the ball. He was their number one target. He was their number one receiver, but he was so underutilized. Now he's going to have a chance to show what he can really do.
I'm going to kind of throw a bunch into a winner here. All of the contenders that the Lions are fighting with, I thought had quality drafts. Jihad Campbell to the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Washington beefs up their offensive line with a tackle. The Niners, I thought, made a really nice pick in the NFC here. They're going to be in the fight. Taking
Mikel Williams. He's a guy that we all talked about as possibly being a guy that if he fell to 28, we'd love to see the Lions get.
So I thought the contender class in the NFL all had really nice drafts at the end of the first round.
Yeah. Another loser for me is Arizona.
Really?
Yeah.
I liked that pick.
Okay, so what are they doing to help out Kyler Murray? I know they gave him Marvin Harrison last year. What are they doing to help out Marvin Harrison? This is a guy that needs a lot of weapons around him, especially if they want to continue to utilize his legs, make the threat downfield. I just don't see that they're doing enough to help him, to help Marvin Harrison Jr., to give them another weapon. I would have gone receiver for them.
Really?
Talked about it last week. And I think, yeah, they lost some players in free agency. They lost a defensive tackle. They replaced the defensive tackle.
Yeah.
So I get replacing that, but they're going to have to find a way to be more reliable offensively. And if they've made this huge investment in Kyler Murray, they've got to find a way to continue to get him more weapons.
I like James Pierce Jr. I'm intrigued by him, might be the better way to phrase it. But I didn't understand the Falcons giving up a first-round pick in the future to move up and take a player with some questions. That felt like a loser move for the Falcons. I know we're tight against time. Will Johnson, another guy I wrote down for loser. I mean, didn't even get drafted. Now there's some medical questions.
Yeah, so it was, let's see, he didn't play half the season because of injury, and it sounded like that injury was what was going to keep him out of the combine. And then he didn't perform at Michigan's pro day, but he had his own pro day, and it was reportedly a hamstring. And now there's Adam Schefter reported yesterday that was a knee issue. He was at one point thought about top 10, maybe even top 5, and now he's not even a first round pick.
Yeah, I would say loser. And then I just want to cram one more in here for a winner. Omarion Hampton. I'm not anti-running back, fit matters. That's a run-first offense. They got two big-time tackles. Jim Harbaugh's team's going to run the ball. Hampton, a good landing spot with the Chargers. All right, that's winners and losers. Day one, it's 97-1.
Hey, America's favorite place to watch the draft, to watch basketball as the playoffs are continuing, to watch any sporting event is Stadium Swim. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. You can catch all the biggest moments and games at a viewing experience built for us, the sports fan. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view no matter where you are of their massive 40-foot tall high-definition screen. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. It's in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Fits like a glove, says Brad Holmes last night. Defensive tackle, Ohio State. The big headline with him, he stuffs the run. Massive human being, 330 pounds. Part of the national championship, Ohio State Buckeyes. John, we talked about it. Go get a big human being on one side of the line of scrimmage. Brad Holmes does just that. What was your reaction to the pick?
I mean, I don't hate the pick. And I'll preface it by saying I was hoping for Jihad Campbell at that time, but he does fill a need.
But Brad doesn't draft me.
Right. It's interesting. Run stuffer for sure.
Yeah.
But then when you watch the film, he's a guy that not only can stop the run, he does a nice job of taking on double teams. And when Aleem McGill comes back, this is going to be a nice tandem in the middle. It's going to be a really nice tandem because he's very similar, in my opinion, to a DJ Reader who could take on double teams, who could shed blocks and make plays at the line of scrimmage. We didn't see DJ Reader make a bunch of plays on the quarterback. Where Tyleek Williams, I think, is better than DJ Reader is his ability to at least push the pocket. And he does have a knack for, if I'm not going to get there, I'm going to push this guard, the center, as far back into the quarterback's lap as possible, and I'm going to get a hand up and bat a ball.
Everything you read about him, big, smart, tough, highly productive. And at 330 pounds, I assume they were going to show a bunch of highlights of him at nose tackle or the one tech.
Oh, no. He can play the four-eye.
Well, yeah, he can play the three-tech. That means there's pass rushing upside there. And seeing some Ohio State people talk last night, they believe he will have more pass rush upside in the NFL than he showed in college. So I like a guy that can play either interior D-line spot because that's flexibility. That's right now, while McNeil's hurt, he's a starter day one. When Aleem is healthy and Reader is on the last year of his deal, he slots in long term. So it's short term and long term. Quality football player, fits a need. I'm sure Brad loves that we talk about that. but a good pick for the Lions. You said you like it, don't love it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like it because it does fit a need. And here's where, when you bring up that could be better at pass rush in the league than he was there, a lot of things are telegraphed in college football. Guy lines up as a four eye, instantly as a tackle, I'm thinking, hey, he's going to try and pick me, and it's a TE stunt and comes around. We saw that a lot. But he does have some nice natural instincts where when you're running that pick, which will probably come from more of a wide three or a three technique, and you rub that tackle, now all of a sudden, hey, what are my instincts telling me? Instead of just, hey, I'm going to do my job and then I'm done, and it's up to the edge guy to get around and make a play, he does have a nice feel of hitting that tackle and then reading, I'm in good position to now bounce off and actually get after that quarterback. We saw that a number of times with Tyleek Williams at Ohio State. So he does have good instincts. He also has good instincts, not just as a guy that's going to take on double teams at a three or a nose, of being able to move down the line of scrimmage and make plays down the line of scrimmage. He's big, but he's not big and immobile. I wouldn't call him the most fleet of foot, but he does have good instincts, good reads, and the ability to move lateral down the line of scrimmage and make plays.
He's not a player that you and I spent a lot of time talking about, but we did spend a lot of time talking about that type of player.
Mm-hmm.
The interior defensive lineman, Walter Nolan, was never going to fall there. Derek Harmon, fingers crossed, never going to fall there. Kenneth Grant, maybe. He went 13, but it's clear that Brad Holmes looked at that and said, we got to get better on the interior of our defense. And Tyleek Williams is a guy that they didn't hesitate to pick. The question is always going to be, who did they pass up on? There's a couple edge guys. Mike Green, who was the nation's leading sack artist last season. And Donovan Ezeraku out of Boston College was also their very popular mock draft selection. Brad preferred this football player instead. Jihad Campbell, who you already mentioned, goes three picks later to the Philadelphia Eagles. That's the one criticism I think is valid. If you're going to say, I won't question Brad Holmes because he's Brad Holmes, you're allowed to point out Howie Roseman is Howie Roseman, right? I think that's a fair counterpoint. If you said, well, if I'm just going to defer to the really smart football people, the best general manager in the NFL said Jihad Campbell is a hell of a player, top 10 on their board, and the Lions didn't take him.
Yes, and obviously Edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson is a need.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles were looking at Jihad Campbell and had him highly ranked, one, because he's a really good player, but also because they lost a lot. They lost more at the edge than they did at defensive tackle. They lost one in free agency in Sweat. They lost another one in Brandon Graham to retirement. Like, they needed to address, to be able to do what they did last year in the Super Bowl, and that is get after a quarterback. Their need was bigger at edge than clearly at because they still have Jordan at defensive tackle. We know that they're stacked there in terms of the top end talent. Now depth, okay, they could find depth. We talked about it. This is a very deep draft at the defensive tackle position. I wouldn't be surprised to see Philly address the defensive tackle position, the depth of that position in the second round.
248-539-9797. Your reaction to Tyleek Williams is the pick for the Lions. Defensive tackle out of Ohio State. Big human being on the line of scrimmage. Hard to be mad at the pick. Maybe you got a gripe because you liked someone else more. We had the guy yesterday call with his draft crush, gushing about Jihad Campbell. I thought about him last night when they passed on him. The Eagles just have a knack for getting these good football players, right? Like, of course they end up with Jihad Campbell.
Sure, but you could also say, I mean, Brad Holmes has knack for getting good players in the draft.
But the only person that you would say rivals Brad Holmes is Howie Roseman, right?
Well, not just rivals him, is better.
He's better.
At this point, yes, because he's got Super Bowls.
Yeah. So if you go, well, my guy Brad Holmes did better, track record suggests Howie Roseman did better.
Yeah, but we're talking about who we believe are the top two
general managers
in football.
Ticket Texture says, stuff the run. The handoff was all Michigan had, and Mullings ran over him in Ohio State.
I mean, I would love to second that emotion, but no. I mean, he did run over Jack Sawyer, but that was more Max Bredesen, who was on top of Jack Sawyer, knocking his helmet off, crushing him. Sorry.
Maybe you guys want to consider McNeil is more hurt than we think.
McNeil's not going to be back until, at the earliest, probably Thanksgiving. I think we all addressed the fact that it was a blown ACL late in the season. He won't be back until late in the season. It's for most guys, even though there's been advancements in recovery, in surgical procedures, it's generally about a 12-month recovery. So, no, I don't think we're underestimating that he's going to be back sooner than later. No, I think he's probably later than sooner.
Yeah. Enough with "In Brad We Trust." Last year's draft was mediocre at best.
Well, I mean, if you got a starting right guard for the next few years in the sixth round, that's pretty good. We have no idea. We didn't see a Manu.
Or Rakestraw, really.
Right. And so I think it's still TBD.
We'll get more phone calls, more ticket texts, and work in the Pistons in the 7 o'clock hour. Want to hear from people who were at that game, the atmosphere. They brought back Final Countdown, but they ultimately lost. Why did they lose Game 3? It's 97-1.